Well, my prayer today is that God would get your attention and that he would shock you and that you would decide that Jesus is worth giving everything for. And he's more serious than you ever imagined. Jesus. If you have ever wondered why I personally take my faith so serious, it is because of what Jesus says today. That's not an attention getter. This is just me laying my heart out. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. And what he says today in Mark 8 is not a riddle. It's not difficult to understand. It's not a parable that is hidden from some and revealed to others. No, it is straightforward. It is simple. It is clear. But the real wrestle that's going to go on in your heart today is this. Is Jesus worth the trade? This is the real wrestle, and this is why many are not Christians. Last week, Jesus said he's going to suffer terrible things at the hands of the religious and be killed. And that's where we pick up the story. Mark chapter 8, towards the end of the chapter, we're only going to cover five verses, starting in 34. Then, calling to the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Any of you. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it." He's not bluffing. "But if you give up your life for my sake and the sake of the good news, the gospel, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" This is Jesus talking to you. And then he says this in 38, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, and these sinful and adulterous generation these days, the Son of Man himself will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." Is Jesus worth the trade? Giving your life, and in return, you get him. In 2026, we try to soften these verses. That's too serious. He can't mean that. And then he says, "If anyone wants to be my follower." These are not requirements for the radical Christians. These are not the requirements for the extra serious ones, the missionaries, the pastors. If anyone, what he is saying is this is entry-level Christianity. To give up your life to follow him. He says, "If anybody wants to follow me, you must take up your cross." The cross was not cute. The cross, to say it plainly, was an instrument of torture. They would have all known this. And you would have carried your cross to your own death. The crowd knew what the cross meant. They knew what the cost was. They knew what Jesus was saying. And then Luke adds, the same account, Luke adds one little thing. He says, "If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross daily." Oh no. Die every day to self, crucifying you to follow him. You guys are like barely believing this. I didn't say it. He said it, okay? Some people go, "Jason, you don't practice Lent." No, because self-denial is not a season for a Christian. True story. Just not in my notes. I should just move on. Okay, look at that. According to Jesus, it's dying every day, crucifying yourself, picking up your cross, and following him. Here's where I want you to get on a positive sense, because right now it just sounds like a lot of sacrifice. Here's what I want you to get. The gospel is so precious to you. Jesus is so precious to you that no amount of personal suffering is enough to turn you away. That's what I want you to get. If you trade your life, this life, to gain salvation, you are not a fool. If you never give up your life because it's too precious to you to follow Jesus, you are the fool. Look at what he says in 35. Just read this with me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, the good news, you will save it. And then he says, 36, what benefit is it to you if you gained the whole world but lost your soul? Is anything worth more value than your soul? Here's what I want to say up on the screen. You cannot overestimate the value of your soul. Your soul lives forever in one of two places. You don't have the option to stop existing. And then on top of that, you cannot underestimate the value of gaining the world. It's worthless. You can't take it with you. There's been people who have achieved this and said, it's empty. You cannot overestimate the value of your soul. You cannot underestimate the value of the world. And the human delusion is that the more we have, the happier we'll be. And we all buy into it. But the offer of Jesus is so great, worth so much, that you would be willing to pay any price to get it. Do you see Jesus that way? Matthew 13:44 is the gospel in a verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in the field. He's plowing along his plow, and ka-chunk, hits a treasure. And he digs a little bit and goes, oh no, this is a great value. And so in his joy, in his excitement, he goes and sells everything he has to buy that field to gain that treasure. That's Christianity. And some of us have a wrong view of Jesus, that he just gives us everything, but it costs us nothing. You give me forgiveness of sin. Thanks, Jesus. Give me eternal life. Thank you. Now stay away, and I'll call you when I need you. Don't be pushing in on my life, Jesus. I'll call you when I want you. And many of us, we try to teeter the line of staying friends with the world because it's not cool to be a Christian. It's not cool to have conversations about Jesus. It's awkward. And yet we still try to give Jesus some leftovers just in case. But there's no option for that. Jesus leaves no third option here. It's either that you are all in or you are all out. There is no 75% Christian. I know, that's hard. I sat in this week. And I look at my life and I'm like, am I there? And then 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, so if anyone's ashamed of me today, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in all of his glory with the angels and his Father. Now sit in that for a second. If anyone is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of them at judgment. Can you think of a worse position to be in on that day? When Jesus, returning in his glory, responds to you the same way that you responded to him. I don't know him. He's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to be associated with Jesus. This isn't the only place he says it. Matthew 10:32-33. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Yes! But then he keeps going.
And everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do you take this serious? I mean, the tension of these verses was uncomfortable for me. And I'm tempted to lighten the mood, tell a joke, make us laugh. Not today. Not today. So I don't normally do this. You guys like it when I say that, right? Oh no, what's coming? No more chilling. All right, we're done. I don't normally do this, but there have been 5 videos that changed my life. They changed my Christianity. They shaped why I am the way I am. And I'm only going to show you one today. These videos are ones that I have watched over 30 times because they impacted me so much. And here's the thing about these videos. They're not emotional. They're not playing with your emotions like puppies and kittens do. Sometimes I cry just watching somebody get a new puppy. Not emotion like that. These got to me because they're simply quoting scripture. And so we're going to watch this video. And I want it to affect you the same way it did me. And this is why I pray. This guy is going to preach the scriptures better than I can. Let it affect you.
You need to weigh in on the cost factor and count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It will cost you popularity. It will cost you promotion, perhaps at times. It will cost you an easy life. You will have to discipline yourself. You will have to buffet your body. You will have to say no to temptation. You will have to say no to this world. You will have to break with the crowd. You will have to be willing to stand alone for Christ. You will have to be willing to walk to the beat of a different drummer and to step out of the crowd, even if no one follows after Jesus Christ. You'd be willing to stand if you're the only person in the world for Jesus Christ. That's the cost factor. You would have to be willing to suffer persecution for Christ. And let me tell you, it will come. It might even cost you your life. He is not coming to play games. He is not coming to be docile. He is coming to dominate, and he is coming to slaughter. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. And at the end of this age, He will bolt out of heaven on a white steed, and His garments are dripped in blood, the blood of His own enemies, and He is coming back to conquer and to damn. You need to make terms of peace with this coming king, or you will be subjected in damnation forever. And Jesus Christ has made terms of peace. You need to settle out of court with Him. You do not want to go into that final day of conflict with Christ. For He will be ruthless in the execution of His justice. But He offers you mercy today. He will agree to terms of surrender. He will agree to terms of peace, but they are His terms of peace, not ours. And His terms of peace are very simply this. You must hate your own father and mother and brother and sister and even your own life more than me, or you cannot be my disciple, and you must take up a cross and follow me, or you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not, you will meet me in the final judgment, and it will glorify God in your destruction. He is pressing you for a decision. He will not be put off. You cannot hit the mute button any longer in your heart. You must answer to Him. Verse 33, so then, conclusion, none of you can be my disciple. He is saying, none of you can be a true Christian. None of you can be in my kingdom. None of you can be in right relationship with me or the Father. None of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What is our Lord saying? He's not backing off. He is increasing the commitment that he is calling for with every line of this section. Well, he's not saying that you have to buy your way into the kingdom of heaven, for none of us have enough gold and none of us have enough silver to ever remove the stain of sin that has defiled our inner soul. What is he saying? Who does not give up all of his own possessions? Well, this must be taken in context with other texts of Scripture, and let me just cut to the bottom line of the bottom line. You must transfer the ownership of all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. That's what He's saying. Your life is no longer your life, it is now His life. Your time is no longer your time, it is now His time. Your possessions are no longer your possessions, they are now His possessions. Your future is no longer your future, it is now His future. Your treasure is no longer your treasure, it is now His treasure, and you have transferred all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. That's what it is to meet His terms of peace. Yet the exchange is not bartered or bought with real money, but it is purchased with the total, complete surrender of your life to Christ. That's what saving faith is. It is coming to the end of yourself and completely and entirely entrusting all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. This is your eternal soul. This is the only life you will ever live. This deals with the only eternity you will ever have. And so he says, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, meaning it gives evidence that it was never true salt to begin with what will it be seasoned? And the answer is nothing. Verse 35, it is useless either for the soul or for the manure pile. It's just no good to anyone. Not to God, not to Christ, not to the kingdom, not to the movement. You're just taking up a seat for someone else. There were other people who were trying to get into this. It is useless either for the soil. You're not even worth the toilet, spiritually speaking, because you have not come to the place of total surrender of your life and supreme allegiance and supreme loyalty to Christ. You have not yet come under the lordship of Christ and taken up a cross to follow after Him. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You need to give strictest attention to what God has said in His Son. For God has spoken in His Son to us in this conference. And God has brought every one of us to this place. Not a one of us is here by accident or by happenstance, and it is the goodness of God and the mercy of God that has brought you to this place where you have heard of Isaiah 53. You have heard of the suffering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who upon that cross became sin for us. Upon that cross, He died to self that He might live for us and that He might bear our sins and iniquities upon that tree and purchase our salvation. And there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And He is calling out to you today. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will take you in and receive you unto myself. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. It is. You will have the weight of sin lifted off of you. And you will have now the yoke of Christ upon you. And He gets into that yoke with you. And He pulls with you. But it will require the total commitment of your life to Him. Oh, how we ought to search our hearts here today. Have I come to this place of total commitment in my life? Have I yielded my life to the sovereign lordship of Him who died upon the cross for me? I want you to know that the gates of paradise have been swung open to you. And the narrow gate is open. And if you will take a step of faith and come through this narrow gate and commit your life to Him, despite the strength of His words, He also says, Him who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He is calling you today to come to Him, to take a step of faith and to come to Him. But if you come to Him, don't play games. You must surrender to Christ.